What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of Sideline Thoughts. I'm Joe Galvez, and I'm here with another episode of the college football. Yes, it took a couple weeks from week one and week two, the results and everything that went on, but I'm here to talk about that, all the headlines, surprises that we saw in week one and two, and kind of some of the expectations that we could expect for week three. And, who really knows what's going to go on? So let's get right into it. So to start off week one, the biggest surprise of all, I believe, for anyone, no matter who else really played, was Colorado. Deion Sanders, the way he changed the program, that school, would just within a couple months, with his first season there, a couple months, and he's been able to change that program in the right direction. Already in the first game, he tied their win, the same number of wins that they had last season. Last season, they went 1-11. This year, week one, they got their win against TCU, which was, like I mentioned, a team that I didn't have in the top 25, my own personal top 25, because I didn't think they were the same team as last year. And it kind of shows already with the new receivers, offensive line, quarterback, and everything going on. Now, don't get me wrong, they don't look terrible. They don't look bad at all, but they're not that same team that went to the college football championship game. And we saw that already. So what we're noticing is one, quickly stick on TCU, is that one, they're working their way through. They're not going to be terrible, like I said, they're not going to be awful, but they're still going to have some woes through it. And we saw that one, they need to work on the defense. They definitely need to fix the defense because TCU, even in the college championship game, even in the semifinals game, we saw they didn't have much of a defense compared to what their offense was. And now this year, as they are fixing the offense, well, not fixing, but trying to get that flow back going, their defense needs a lot of help, a lot of attention to it. So that's that. Like you said, offense trying to get that flow. It didn't look bad at all. The offense was scoring points. They were putting up points. In any other game, they probably would have won because of that. But they didn't. They didn't get it done. Now moving on to Colorado, biggest surprise. We did not expect them to do to play how they played, to do what they did. They ended up winning by 3 points, 45 to 42, off of a touchdown at the end. So it was crazy, one, to see that Colorado even put up 45 points, let alone even if they lost. It was crazy just to see how offensively they were playing and how defensively they changed. We know that has to do with Travis Hunter and the way Deion Sanders got him playing in two-way. We got him, of course, he was the number one corner out of the country. He was the number one player in his draft class out of the country, committed to Florida State, decommitted, went to Jackson State with Deion Sanders, followed him to Colorado. He even said that he'll follow Deion anywhere because that's his guy. And I believe it. So even if Deion was to move to another school, Travis Hunter would go with them. But the way he had him playing on both ends, he got a pick. As a defender, he was playing wide receiver on the offensive side. It's crazy. We're seeing now that players could play, not, we knew players could play on both sides, but now it could be a trend, is what I'm trying to say. It could be a trend now where we get players that could play both sides and be great at both ends, even not just getting their way through one side. But Travis Hunter could not be stopped. He played 111 snaps, he had 11 receptions for 119 yards, no touchdowns, but 119 yards off 11 receptions. That's just on the offensive end. Not in the defensive end, which he had a interception. His longest reception was 43 yards on one of the catches. It was crazy. This team completely changed. Deion Sanders changing the culture of Colorado, making them a winning culture. Even if some people didn't think that his son would be able to play at the this level of college football. Of course, Jackson State was still a D1, but the difference in the level as the Power Five school, they didn't think he would be able to be a good quarterback. Proved them wrong in the first game. Shedeur Sanders, he went 38 completed passes off of 47 attempts. He had 510 yards. He averaged about 10.9 yards per pass. Four touchdowns, zero interceptions. Unbelievable for a first time playing for just first time playing in a Power Five school. Great quarterback. He's already establishes out as a top quarterback this year in college football. I don't think he would be able to take the Heisman away from Caleb Williams, but not to say that it's not possible. I don't think he'd be, I don't think at the end of it they will give it to him, but dude, he'd be right there. He'd probably be top three. He also had 5 carries. He actually got a negative 32 rushing yards off those 5 carries. So, that's the only downside, but come on, he's quarterback. His first year, his first game, unbelievable. And it put everyone on the map. That win put Colorado on the map. Everyone was looking, everyone had their eyes on them. I mean, what more can you ask for? And it was unbelievable. Week one college football, we had some major games. I got some predictions right, some predictions wrong. There's a lot to go through. But just looking at some of the scores, Utah beat Florida. I did have Utah winning that one on my last episode, in which I predicted how many games and which games they would win. I had Utah winning that one. Georgia beating UT, I have UT Martin. I have Georgia being undefeated and winning it all. Michigan beating East Carolina, I had Michigan winning it. Ohio State beating Indiana, I had that one going. Alabama beating Middle Tennessee, of course. USC beating Nevada, yes, Nevada is such a bad school. It should have been an easy win, and it was 66 to 14. Penn State beating Virginia, of course. Washington beating Boise State, yes. At Washington going undefeated, at Boise State losing this one. Texas beating Rice, yes. Tennessee beating Virginia, yes. Notre Dame winning against Tennessee, of course. Oregon beating Portland State, the highest scoring game I've ever seen, 81 to 7. It was 8 to 7 in the first quarter when I first saw the game. And then in a blink of an eye, it becomes 28 to 7. And then it goes to 45. It was unbelievable. I just couldn't believe they scored 81 points. You allowed 81 points. That was hard. Kansas State, another team I have going undefeated, 45 to 0. I mean, it was against Southeast Missouri, so you can't really say much about it. Like you said, Colorado beating TCU 45-42, a big win. Number 17, like I said, TCU was not in my top 25. Colorado was not even close to my top 25. I thought Colorado was only going to get about 4 wins this season. Prior to seeing them, I really just thought Deion Sanders would have needed another year or two to change completely the culture, and he's proving me wrong in this one. Wisconsin had them winning again, but also not a team I have in my top 25. They won down Oklahoma, a team that I definitely did not have in my top 25, won 73-0 against Arkansas State. Now, Arkansas University of Arkansas is a good football school, but Arkansas State, no. And the fact that I saw a lot of people saying that Oklahoma is back, or Oklahoma is still this great school, they're back to being great after a fluke of last year, and that they're a school that deserves to be the top 25, I don't get it. I don't get why, because they beat a team 73-0. Okay, yeah, that would be fair if they played someone like TCU or Mississippi State or even Texas A&M. I would get, okay, you know what? Maybe they deserve to be in the top 25. But you played Arkansas State, a team I did not even think. I didn't think, well, I didn't think they're gonna go 0 points, but I didn't think they would hit more than maybe 10 points. And to hype up Oklahoma, in which it's expectations that they should have won, says a lot. And I think it really shows that people are just jumping the gun and overhyping them. Wait until Oklahoma plays a real team. Not gonna be good. North Carolina beating South Carolina. I had on this game, I had North Carolina losing this one to South Carolina. I thought Spencer Rattler was going to be much better, and that running this offense is going to be a much better player and getting things done. They couldn't get it done. So congrats to North Carolina. I had them only losing 2 games already this year. Of course, that's not happening. The 2-game loss, or possibly can. It's always a lot. You never know. They lose one to someone that I thought they were going to win. Then Ole Miss beating Mercer 73-7 down. Texas A&M, I had them beating New Mexico 52 to 10. What I really enjoyed about week one and two is that they were high scoring games. I think it's great to show see that these, they're establishing where they belong, and the difference in the college, even though they're Division One, the difference in the level of playing. Tulane beating South Alabama 37-17, 20-point win, but I think Tulane should have scored more. Iowa as well. They won 24-14, a 10-point win against Utah State, game which I think Iowa should have scored a bit more, but they did look better. Another one I got wrong, LSU losing to Florida State 45-24. It was a blowout. I mean, Jaden Daniels, who I thought was gonna be amazing, and he played really good. He had 346 total yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's not too bad. He rushed for 15 carries with 64 yards. Not bad, but it was not the LSU that I thought. I thought they were gonna be much better, much well mixed together. Jaden Daniels, I thought he was gonna be able to lead this team, and Brian Kelly now being his second year there, bring get everyone, like I said, just meshed together to work it out. And now Florida State, once again, just showing that they were the better team, better school. And they're moved up. Oregon State beat San Jose State for 217, establishing that. Clemson, a team that had going undefeated first game of the season, loses to Duke, a team that's known for basketball, not even football, 28-7. That was by 21 points. And the team that was the defending ACC champions, that now a lot of people are seeing that a lot of blame for Clemson last season was being put on the quarterback, who's now the quarterback of Oregon State. Now they're seeing that it's not his fault, and more it's the play calling, the coaches, everything that's going on there. So it's you're seeing that this is not the same Clemson team, that they're changing, and it's going to be a rough season for them. And Duke might have even a great season compared. In some other week one games, Arizona State beat Southern Utah 24-23. Like I said, Arizona State isn't exactly going to be the greatest. Miami, Florida beats Miami of Ohio 38-3, claiming who's the real Miami. Michigan State gets the win against Central Michigan 31-7. Louisville beats Georgia Tech 39-34, a very close one. Stanford gets the win against Hawaii 37-24. Hawaii's not really good at football, and they haven't been for quite a bit. Kansas beat Missouri State 48-17, a team that I don't expect to do really good because they are a basketball school, but they can get a couple wins here and there that you'd least expect. Fresno State beats Purdue 39-45. Again, I thought Purdue was going to get this win. Yes, I thought I said it was going to be close. I think this was going to be Fresno's only loss of the season, and they flipped it and got that win. So good job to Fresno State, really showing that they are a strong team. And I think it shows that they're not going to be in the Big Ten championship when it comes down to it. Iowa State winning 39 to UNI. Maryland beats Towson 38-6. Pittsburgh beats Wofford 45-7. Berkeley beats North Texas 58-21. Syracuse beats Colgate 65-0. Mississippi State, a team that I had in my top 25, beats Southeastern Louisiana 48-7. Going on and on, but my UCLA beats Coastal Carolina 27-13, a very stressful game. In which a game I thought that should have been very easy for them. They started with Ethan Garbers, as it was announced. He was the starting quarterback. He played well. He got a touchdown on, I believe, the first or second drive, if I remember correctly. Got a touchdown, but he did throw intercepted two interceptions throughout the game, throughout the entirety of the game. UCLA did have a lead, but however, in my as a fan, it was not a very comfortable lead. The reason why they kept the lead is because Coastal Carolina kept missing on their opportunities to score, in which they got defensive stops. It was not until Dante Moore, UCLA's freshman quarterback, came in, and just in his first drive, he got a touchdown. He got a touchdown pass to Carson Steele, and he started growing that lead. But then once again, like Chip Kelly, what he does, he sent Ethan Garbers in another two drives of three and outs. In which Dante Moore had to come back in, and again, and just in that drive, he gets another touchdown to extend the lead. It was not a good win, and it was a low score win, in my opinion, but it was a win. Seeing this, a lot of UCLA fans wanted, Dante Moore to start week two against San Diego State, and rightfully so. It was a really nerve-wracking game in which Ethan Garbers, it was not his fault. Well, I'll take it back. He did not play his best, but it was also I blame Chip Kelly and a lot of the play calls and how they set him up in certain plays. But it was also Garbage's fault for he took a really long time to pass the ball. So because of that, it became an issue. It what made the league become very close, at least for my liking. But Dante Moore came in, got it done. Of course, as a rookie, he had a couple of mistakes. Don't get me wrong, he was not perfect. He did have his mistakes, but they're easy to point out, easy to fix. He's going to be a great quarterback. And San Diego State beats Idaho State 36-28 in that game, in that week one. We went on to week two and seen how are these teams going to play. And before we go to the week two, I want to point out in week one, now with the realignment in the Pac-12 dispersing after this season, it was the first week in which the whole Pac-12 went undefeated. All 12 teams had a win, undefeated. They were the only conference that was undefeated in going into week two. Kind of shows a lot, especially with the win like Berkeley, a team that's not that good at football, scoring 56 points for a win. It showed a lot. So going on to week two, highly anticipated week. A lot of games. The big game was Texas versus Alabama in Tuscaloosa, Alabama home game. But because of how Colorado played in week one, we've seen how Colorado's to do with another Power Five school back to back. Yes, they beat TCU and knowing how they did. Now, how are you going to do with a Big Ten team like Nebraska? Nebraska is not the greatest big, or not even the top Big Ten team, but they were another one from the conference. And how was Colorado going to hold themselves up? You could say how you like whether Nebraska or TCU is better. I believe TCU is better than Nebraska. So it wouldn't have been much of a difference. But the top 25 teams for week two, they scored Georgia beats Ball State 45-3. Michigan gets the win against University of Las Vegas 35-7. Texas at Alabama, the game of the week, like we said. High anticipations. I had Alabama beating this game at Texas. Yes, last year Alabama won by one. And I thought Alabama was going to do much better after seeing in week one their quarterback Milner, stepping up, showing what kind of quarterback he is. Yes, easy game, so it was going to be an easy challenge. This was the first challenge of the season against even a ranked opponent. And seeing how it is. And they did not show up. They did not show up at all. Texas came to play. They showed up. And like I said, Quinn Ewers, great quarterback. I'm glad that Steve Sarkisian is starting Quinn Ewers. I think, like I always said, he deserved it. He's proved it. And he's balling out. In this game, he had 349 passing yards with three touchdowns. Running back Brooks had 14 carries, 57 yards with one touchdown. And Sanders, the tight end had five receptions for 114 yards. Defensively, Texas was also great. Alabama did not look like their normal selves. So final score was 34-24. But going into halftime, Texas did have a 7-point lead. However, Alabama took that lead back. Texas destroyed the fourth quarter, scoring the three touchdowns over Alabama's 8 points. So just looking at everything, whereas like we said, 349 off of 24 completed passes of 38 attempts. He had three passing touchdowns. Jonathan Brooks, 14 carries, 57 yards with one touchdown. He was the only running back with the touchdown. Adonai Mitchell had three receptions, 78 yards, but he had two touchdown catches. And then you have Xavier Worthy, the other wide receiver, with five catches, 75 yards, and one touchdown. So, Texas really said, well, compared to Alabama, quarterback Jalen Milroe had 14 completed passes off 27 attempts, total of 255 yards, with two touchdowns, but two interceptions to go over that. Running back Chase McClellan had 12 carries, 45 yards, zero touchdowns. Quarterback Milroe also had 15 carries with 44 rushing yards. For the receivers, Jermaine Burton had two catches, 58 yards, one touchdown. Amari Niblack had two catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown as well. But it was not enough. It was not enough. Even though Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers had one fumble, and Donnie Mitchell also had another fumble. So it's not enough. Texas came and got the win. A much needed win, like I said, for both teams, but Texas got it more, or wanted it more, and they got it. moving on, it was Florida State. They beat Southern Mississippi 66 to 13. Ohio State gets the win against Youngstown State 35-7. USC beat Stanford, the first of their conference games, 56 to 10. Again, Stanford's now one of the top schools in the Pac-12. This, like I mentioned, going into week two, all of the Pac-12 was undefeated until this game. USC ended that as they beat Stanford. It was going to end anyways, but both didn't play each other. Penn State continued the streak, beating Delaware 63 to 7. Washington continued beating Tulsa 43 to 10. Tennessee continuing their streak 30 to 13 over Austin, PA. Notre Dame beats North Carolina State 45-24. A game that I did have them winning. Utah beating Baylor 20-13. Oh, crazy game. Sorry. Baylor is winning 13-6. Utah scores the game time touchdown 13-13. And within the 2 minutes, Baylor did nothing with the opportunity to add points. Utah got it, ran through. They were able to score the other touchdown and even wasted some time taking it down to 17 seconds on the clock. Baylor had time. They got it down to the 30-yard line of Utah through one last play in which I believed it was a passing interference. It looked like a PI. The fans saw it there because it was Baylor home. They did not like the no PI call. And that was the end of the game, 2013. I thought it was. It looked like he held on to him when the cornerback held on to the receiver as he was going up for the ball. But a great comeback win for Utah. Last minute, they shouldn't have been waiting to that last minute to do it, but it is what it is. Oregon also a very close game. They beat Texas Tech 38 to 30, a game that I think Oregon should have taken care of well before. They did have a 15-7 lead in the first quarter, but Texas Tech came back in the second and third, while Oregon only added 3 points within those two quarters. But Oregon comes back in the fourth, dominating, getting 20 more points there, giving that lead. LSU comes with a bounce back win against Grambling, winning 72 to 10. Again, I like the high scoring that there was here. They really found themselves in this game, but again, it's against Grambling. Jane Daniel had 269 passing yards with 5 touchdowns. So we'll see how they do against a actual competitive team. Kansas State undefeated 42-13. Oregon State undefeated 55-7. North Carolina undefeated 40-34. Oklahoma undefeated again against SMU 28-11. Again, I don't think Oklahoma should be in the top 25. They were kept in the top 25. No competition yet. Wisconsin beating Washington State. Washington State, I did not think they would win this game. I thought Wisconsin would win this one, but like I said, Wisconsin not in my top 25. They're ranked too premature into the top 25. They got the win 31-22. Wisconsin, who knows how they're doing. Tulane loses to Ole Miss 37-20. Now, I'm okay with this one because in my predictions, I had Tulane having one loss in the entire season, and it was to Ole Miss. So far, I've gotten that right, and calling that, and then one of my predictions. It did at one point. It did look like Tulane may have won this game by halftime. They were up by set by a touchdown. So it looked like they were gonna come back and flip my call, but Ole Miss came back. Got the win there, undefeated. Tulane's 1-1. I predicted Duke continue undefeated 42-7 against Lafayette. Colorado beating Nebraska, hosting them, their first home game. It was jam-packed, crazy game. Again, needs to work a bit on the defensive end, but Nebraska did not have a great offense. So we still have to see how Colorado does against a great offense. And in the Pac-12, we're definitely going to see that when they play USC. I don't know really against UCLA. I know in my predictions I had them winning. This was kind of before I seen how, now 2 games of seeing how good Colorado was. Yes, I made a video after. I made a video for week zero. Yes, I did say USC and UCLA and these other schools were going to beat Colorado. That was, prematurely. But Deion Sanders is showing that they're not a team to just be messed around with. So now we're going to see how that Colorado defense stands against an offense like USC with Caleb Williamson running, and against an offense like Washington, Utah, Oregon, and how they're going to do against them. And we're going to see how the defense is going to able, well, not, so we're going to see their offense, how they're going to able hand teams with defense like Utah and Washington and Oregon have. Not USC. USC's defense is not really there. Unexpected win. Miami continues their undefeated streak, beating Texas A&M 48-33. Again, Texas A&M, they feel like they don't do good against non-good schools, but they do great against really good schools. That's how it went. And Clemson gets about bounce back win, 66-17 over Charleston, South Carolina. So these are just the top 25 games. And we're already seeing a lot of high scoring, like I said, I really like a lot of changes, a lot of teams unexpectedly losing in the predictions of the top 25. And week two was crazy enough for some that, you know, that were unranked. Louisville beats Murray State 56-0. Again, Murray State, not known for football, basketball. Kansas continues their undefeated streak, beating Illinois 34-23. Indiana beats Indiana State 41-7. We had Wake Forest beating Vanderbilt 36-20. Like I said, Sam Hartman was really their quarterback. So now we're seeing how they're playing against schools without him carrying them, and they get that win against Vanderbilt. Iowa beats Iowa State, and my predictions was a 50-50 game. And because even after that win, that tells me that Iowa is going to be playing Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. They're going to be the ones to rep the Big Ten West. They got the win 20-13. Michigan State gets a win against Richmond 45-14. Syracuse again, another easy team. Western Michigan, they get the win 48-7. And going down, looking at other ones. But me being UCLA, a game that I predicted UCLA to lose, they come in and win, and it was a flip. I thought the Coastal Carolina game was going to be an easy win, and the San Diego State, it was going to be a tough loss. And they came back with the same result, but the way watching the games is where I was angry at Coastal Carolina, and I was very satisfied in the game against San Diego State. UCLA came up and got the win 35-10. I will admit, San Diego State did beat themselves because they had the opportunity to take the lead plenty of times. UCLA's front four defense, phenomenal. UCLA does not have a secondary. Their secondary, it is bad. They need help either in the transfer portal or recruiting, getting some top secondary players because it needs a lot of help. That front four, but now they need to do recruiting for a front four because they are going to be leaving. So we need new players, new dominant players. But that game, very satisfied about how UCLA was playing. Dante Moore started this time. Ethan Garber did not play. It was the third quarterback. Shlee, he played. He didn't do bad either. He was mobile. He moved out of the pocket. He ran. Wasn't too bad. Dante Moore had 5 rushing attempts. He got negative 3 yards, but it wasn't too bad. He had 17 completed passes off 27 attempts for 290 yards, 3 touchdowns. His youngest was an 81-yard pass. Colin Schley, the second quarterback who played, had one pass completion off 2 attempts, but he did, like I said, run the he was more of a running quarterback. Again, he didn't get much playing time. They started the fourth quarter with Dante Moore, so all 4 quarters started with Dante Moore, but Schley got his time towards the end. He had 2 rushing attempts with 35 yards. But Shalee had the one pass with 6 yards. The wide receiver standing out is Sturdivant, transfer from Berkeley, who played 2 years at Berkeley. In this game, he only had 2 receptions for 26 yards, no touchdown, but he did stand out in that first game against Coastal Carolina. Joshua Norwood, 2 receptions, 87 yards, 1 touchdown. Logan Loya had 4 receptions, 77 yards, with 1 touchdown as well. And looking at it, Kyle Ford, a transfer from USC, he had 2 receptions, 21 yards. So we've seen, hopefully they get him going more, get him. But our run game was definitely the reason for this. Our run game played much better. Our sophomore, TJ Harden, had 9 rushing attempts, 91 yards, 1 touchdown. Carson Steele, the transfer running back, had 12 rushing attempts, 84 yards, 1 touchdown as well. So it's good just to see how things go. Colton Yankoff also had four attempts with 19 yards. So this year the team played really well against the San Diego team that was gonna I thought was gonna be crazy hard for them to beat. Like I said, the team also did beat themselves, turning over the ball on the 1 yard for a touchdown that would have been literally was a touchdown, was a walking touchdown if the receiver had caught it, bounced off his helmet. UCLA defense got it, recovered it. So it was a great win overall. Now this Saturday, we'll get to that in week three. So that's pretty much for the week two. So after week one, week two's AP poll were all moved around, mixed up, things were changing. But now this, after the end of week two, going into week three, this is the official AP poll that is being ranked. Again, like I mentioned previously, the AP poll, no matter how good, or I don't want to say that, even if you're undefeated, they will rank a team that has a loss or two over you, because sometimes it may be hype, sometimes it may be biasy, sometimes it's just the schools that you played and the schools that they played. Number one, there's Georgia, undefeated 2-0. Number two, Michigan, still the top two have kept their spots. In week two, they were ranked 1-2, undefeated as well, 2-0. Now, number three, this is where it changes. Number three coming into week two was originally Alabama. It is being replaced by Florida State, who are now undefeated, beating LSU and beating Southern Mississippi. They were going into week two, they were ranked number four. Now, number four, another move in this, and another shift in the rankings, which was, well, Florida State replacing Ohio State. Ohio State was number four going into week one, but they were moved into the fifth spot going into week two. Number four, Texas. They were ranked number 11 going into week two. They undefeated. That win over Alabama earned them the spot at number four. Completely earned it. Like I said, no matter how much I don't like Texas, they've earned that win. Number five, USC going. They're undefeated 3-0. My opinion, three very easy games. San Jose State was probably the hardest so far. Nevada was their easiest. Stanford being between. Stanford is not the same team that they were just years ago. Even after Christian McCaffrey graduated and went to the NFL, they're not the same team anymore. We'll see when USC, they have a bye week this week, so we see when they play their fourth game. But USC at number five, they were ranked number six going into week two. Number six, Ohio State. They were number five going into week two. They're undefeated 2-0. And there's Penn State, number seven. They have stayed at seven since week two, 2-0 as well. Washington, they stayed at eight as well. They are number eight going into week three, undefeated 2-0. Notre Dame, they moved up to the ninth spot after being number 10 going into week two. They're undefeated 3-0. Alabama drops from the third seed going into week two. Now going into week three, they are the 10th seed at 1-1. Tennessee, now this is where we start seeing. Tennessee's number 11. They dropped down two spots from the ninth seed, and yet they are 2-0. Now this is where you start seeing a little bit of it. Utah stayed at 12 from last week to this week. They're still number 12, undefeated 2-0. Oregon, once again, not moving either. Stayed at 13, going into the week three at 13, 2-0. LSU going into week two, they were 14th. They stay now 14 at 1-1. Kansas State, they're 15th for week two. Going to week three, they are still at 15 with 2-0. Oregon State, again, a lot of these weren't shifting. Going into week three, Oregon State staying at 16 for another week, going 2-0. Ole Miss moving up a couple spots. They are now at 17 going to week three, in which last week they were 20th. They're 2-0. Colorado, week going into week one, unranked. Then, because of the win over TCU, they earned themselves the 22nd spot going into week two. Now, going into week three, they moved up to the 18th spot, going 2-0. Number 19, Oklahoma, they moved down the spot as they are now 19 and they were 18th going into week two, 2-0, undefeated. North Carolina moved back three spots. They were 17th, they're now 20, going 2-0. Duke, staying at 21 as they were last week, 2-0. University of Miami were unranked in week two. They're now ranked number 22, going 2-0. Washington State, unranked going to week two. They're 23 this week at 2-0. My UCLA, unranked since the beginning of the season, and in week two they were unranked. They are now ranked number 24 going to week three, 2-0. And last but not least, Iowa, who were ranked into week one. Week two, they dropped out of the rankings. Then week three, they came right back, getting that 25th spot, going 2-0. Now, like I said, like schools like Tulane, they got lost to Ole Miss. You know, you have Alabama that's 1-1, LSU that's 1-1, and yet you don't have Tulane that's 1-0, this and that. But it's also the 1-1s are above a couple 2-0s. Well, the rest of the 2-0s. So that's what I start seeing. That's the week three official rankings. Let's see how week four changes. How many Pac-12 teams are still undefeated and going strong? As we know, Stanford's the only one that's out being undefeated right now. So now my predictions for week three wins. I was going by Georgia, haven't gone undefeated. They're beating South Carolina. Michigan, again, going undefeated to the college football playoffs. I have them beating Bowling Green. Florida State, I have them beating Boston College this week. Texas, I have them beating Wyoming. USC is not playing. USC is the number 5 seed. They're not playing. They have a bye. They're the first of two bye weeks this year, so that's the first one. So get to how I think they're going to do in week four. 6, Ohio State, I have them, you know, beating Western Kentucky. Number 7, Penn State, I have them beating Illinois. Number 8, Washington, I have them beating Michigan State. Number 9, Notre Dame, I have them beating Central Michigan. Number 10, Alabama, I have them beating Southern Florida. It's a morality bounce back win for Alabama, so they have to get that job done against Southern Florida. Number 11, Tennessee, I have them beating Florida. It might be a bit tough for them, but I think they'll be able to get the job done. I have them winning that game. 12, Utah, I have them beating Weber State. 13, Oregon, beating Hawaii, a very easy win. If Stanford was able to do it, Oregon would definitely be able to do it. 19, LSU, they really need to not let their guard down against Mississippi State. Mississippi State's not a team to be messed with. You have to take them serious, give them the respect they deserve. They will make you work hard for that win, or they're going in for the win. But even if they don't win, they'll make you, you know, crawl back and really need to get that win. So LSU needs to get the job done. Brian Kelly needs to fix whatever they need to do in order to get this win. So I have LSU keep winning that one. Kansas State, I have them beating Missouri. Oregon State, I have them beating San Diego State. San Diego State is now, I'm seeing if they're really the team I thought they would be, very dominant. Well, not very dominant, but a very good team. I'm not sure, but I think Oregon State is a much better team. So I have them winning that one. Ole Miss, I have them beating Georgia Tech. Just Ole Miss was a much better school overall. Colorado, this is one of the games of the weeks. Colorado at hosting Colorado State. Colorado State is not a very good football team. They barely got into the basketball scene a couple years ago in their March Madness run. Colorado, Deion Sanders, again, if the way Deion Sanders was able to play, get his team to play against TCU and Nebraska, this is going to be an easy win against Colorado State. Have them winning. Oklahoma should beat Tulsa. But again, competition team. If they struggle against Tulsa, even if they get the win, they should be dropping out of the top 25 because they should not struggle against them. But wait until they play an actual good school. And then Oklahoma is not going to be as good as everyone thinks they are. North Carolina, have them beating Minnesota. I think it's just a win that they should get. They're already proving me wrong against the first game when they beat South Carolina, so they should be able to get this win. Duke against Northwestern. I did not think Duke was going to be here. I think Duke is better than Northwestern. Northwestern is, well, now after seeing Duke, better than Northwestern. Northwestern is definitely not a very well set team. I think they have a lot of holes in both the offense and defense. Duke should get the job done. Even being in the Big Ten, Northwestern has been one of the top ones. Washington State, I have them beating Northern Colorado. Should be an easy win. UCLA is playing North Carolina Central. Again, easy win. I think it should be an easier win compared to. I thought San Diego State was going to be the hardest non-conference game. So they should be a very easy win. They should get the job done against this HBCU. Iowa should be Western Michigan. Should be no issue for them. That's pretty much it. Looking at some other schools, there's too many games going on, so I can say them all. But a couple other wins going on. Texas Tech should get the win against Tarleton State. I have them. I had them. My top 25 going in. Syracuse and Purdue. That's gonna be a really good game. I do know I put Purdue to win that one. So let's see how that one goes. Even though they're not in the top 25, I had Clemson being Florida State, Florida Atlantic. They should get that win. TCU Houston is gonna be a very good game. I think TCU would come out, but very, very close. So who knows how that one's gonna go? Pittsburgh versus Virginia. I think Pittsburgh's gonna get that win. And Miami started off this yesterday with the win against Boston. Bernie Cookman, 48-7. So that's week three of college football. Really, was there to look for? Like I mentioned, my UCLA, it's really getting establishing the starting quarterback. I want Dotson more now. Nothing against Ethan Garbers. I feel like he was kind of set up, but he does have his mistakes. Needs to fix it. I think him and Colin Schley are now fighting for that backup position as Dotson Moore should be the starting quarterback. I do know there's going to be a lot of mistakes along the way. Next week four, is going to be the hardest. It's the first conference game and it's against Utah. So we're really going to see how we really perform as a team, not just Dotson Moore, but as a team on this defense, especially in that secondary that we need a lot of work on and getting our receivers more catches because I don't think we're getting our receivers enough. We're not getting them the ball enough, so to get that going much more. But yeah, that's the rankings. That's how it looks like it's gonna be going. And so let's look into week four and see how things end up turning out. But yeah, it's very exciting. It's great to see Colorado stepping up. You know how they're gonna do in the Big 12 next year. How is Texas and Oklahoma going to do in the SEC next year? You know, it's still early season. You know, week three is coming up, so we're going to see a lot of changes. And we're seeing the Pac-12 really show how strong the conference really is. And it sucks that it's breaking up and they're all going out. They're all going off for it for the last Pac-12 championship. And you know, the league really could have been like this a couple years ago. It just in 2 3 years ago. The league was, if the teams in the conference really liked this, it would have never led to the realignment of it. Think it would have led to better TV endorsements and stuff like that, which was also the issue of the leaders of the Pac-12, but that's a separate thing. But so yeah, so that's week three, guys. And my little assessment of week one and two. There's a lot. Be trying to get back to you guys as much as I can, but. Till then, thanks guys for listening to Sideline Thoughts. I'm Joe Galvez. Back with another episode. See ya.